Everyone, welcome. Welcome to Radioactive F1. This is a new experiment in radio broadcasting in which I do a lot of talking and the other half of the side podcast duo doesn't do quite as much talking as he usually does. It's going to be weird. That is what it's going to be. So this is a pilot episode. It's going to be the beginning of an awesome journey and you're all coming along with me. My name is Christine, in case you don't know. You might have seen me around on side podcasts. I also do things like MrsChristine.com and Christine's Rankings and ChristineBlashford.com. I do like to get my name into things. I wanted to call this Radio Christine, but that's been shot down. And the name at the moment is Radioactive F1, which I quite like, but it's always up for discussion. This is just the pilot episode, so things may change as we go through the show. Who knows? I am joined by Mr. C. He often talks a lot, but not today. I've charged it. I guess it's the opposite of where you get paid by the word. You might get fined by the word.
Do I have any kind of speaking part?
Well, maybe. I might let you speak a bit later. You do have a microphone, so that's a start, I think. And this is the radio. Yes, sorry, I got completely distracted there. We are broadcasting live to the internet now. We started a bit late. This is should be exactly an hour-long show. So we started 5 minutes late, I think. So all my timings are now off, which is brilliant. If you want to join in the fun and games, you need to head to sidepodcast.com where there is a live commenting thread and lots of people are there already. We've got Lukey and Stephen and Stuart and Jay Pankhost and Will and Mark and Pat and Dreamland, lots and lots of people already there. And there's also a fact bite fact box for the show, which is where I am going to try and share links to the things I'm talking about. Well, I'm not sure how good I am at multitasking and that I can do all of that at the same time. Seems like I might be overstretching myself just a little bit.
I think that is just showing off.
I mean, you know,
they're talking and typing at the same time.
They do say that women are good at multitasking, but this may be a step too far, even for me.
I'm going to have to get you a mouse that doesn't click for the next show.
There's clicking and there's typing. That's going to be very distracting. So we should begin, as any good show does, with the news. I don't actually know what that means. Do all good shows begin with the news? That's not a thing, is it? Ooh, a news jingle. It was free practice today in India. I don't know if anyone watched it. I didn't. I was at work. Although I did watch, read some of the comments. Lou was happily being my eyes and ears for free practice too, which was fun. Seems like Sebastian Vettel, super duper speedy at the moment, isn't he?
He's a modern day Michael Schumacher.
He is indeed. We know that he got pole position and the win and the fastest lap last year. So far, he's managed to get both practice sessions. He's topped both practice sessions. And I think it was Will who said in the free practice thread that he wondered whether he'd be able to top FP1, FP2, FP3, get pole position, the win, and fastest lap. Has that been done before? Do people do that? Is there a name for that?
I don't know if there's a name for it other than Michael Schumacher. That's how I know it.
Right.
When you turn up to a Formula One weekend and all that happens is the red car is fastest, in this case it's the red and blue car, that's how it used to be in Formula One, and I assume that's the case. It might be the case this weekend.
I mean, there's the thing of pole and the win and the fastest lap. That's a thing, isn't it? But what if
that
you...
That is the Grand Kelum?
Yes, Kelum. That's the one. What if you do everything, top every session that you possibly can?
You make Formula One very boring, is what you do. Boring!
It seemed as though it was very difficult. The grip was something that was missing a lot of today. And the early shots, early in the morning, the haze over the track, I mean, it's quite scary, really. Also, I saw it was Jonathan Noble off of Autosport. He was tweeting about they're doing their run their track thing. And he went for a run. He did his, I guess it must be about 5K around a lap. And he was saying, I wonder if there's anything you can get to actually clean out your lungs, because He was feeling it. That he does not look good.
I thought you were going to tell me he ran twice as far as he should have because he got lost in the fog and the smog.
That also could happen. Yeah, it doesn't seem good. I guess if you're tucked away in a car surrounded by fuel and smoke and all that kind of thing, it's probably you're not too worried about what's going on in the atmosphere above you, but you're probably protected through the helmet and everything. But it doesn't look healthy.
There was a Formula One controversy about brake dust getting in drivers' lungs. I think it was Mika Salo once said he went for a medical and it turns out that his lungs were full of the stuff. I mean, there was a big hoo-ha over whether or not Formula One was causing some kind of health and safety issue by the, you know, the black dust you see coming off of Formula One cars at pit stops. And maybe that was, you know, affecting their health. I think the conclusion was actually there was no health risk at all. So maybe Formula One drivers are used to it. Maybe that, you know, they have fitter bodies, healthier bodies, but Formula One journalists, perhaps not.
Yeah, well, I think Noble was still, he said he was getting over a cold as well, so that probably didn't help, but I just thought it was weird. And obviously people live there, so, you know, it can't be all that bad. Also in free practice, we saw a big controversy from Sauber. Oh, I'm so disappointed in my lovely Manisha. What has she done? Well, It started on Thursday when Perez wasn't feeling well and he decided to go home and rest, which is fine if you're not feeling well. Probably.
Has he been spending a lot of time with Noble?
Maybe that's what it is. Ooh, there's another conspiracy there. If you're not feeling well and you've got a big challenge to do at the weekend, like drive for 2 hours in the heat and smog. I was going to say humidity, but smog, it definitely is. Then resting up seems like a good thing to do. But then it emerged that he wasn't going to be driving in free practice because he was still unwell, except that he wasn't so unwell that he was at home in the hotel. He was in the garage. He was there.
So it wasn't like when Timo Glock injured his shoulder and no one saw him for 3 days.
Yeah.
It was, the guy was fine. He was well enough to turn up.
Yep, he was there looking quite grumpy when Esteban Gutierrez took his place in free practice one. Gutierrez did have a massive slide, went off, just managed to miss hitting it into the barriers. But he is brand new, so it is forgivable.
He is brand new.
They're
just taking the packaging off of him.
Exactly.
Unwrapped for the weekend.
Taking off the bubble wrap. Yeah, Perez was looking quite grumpy about the whole situation. But I thought, well, if he's not well, he's not well. That's what you do. Except then he appeared to be much better. Revolutionary. It must be some massive advances in medicine that he got over his cold well enough to drive in FP2.
F1 miracle. That's what we witnessed today.
So everyone is massively cynical about this, understandably, because it's just very odd. When they first announced it... Is that cheering? Is that booing?
That's booing.
Okay.
Massively cynical people.
Yeah. When it was first announced that he wasn't going to be in it, we all thought, okay, that's because they want to get Gutierrez in the car because Perez is leaving. They need to know who's going to be in their car next year. It potentially, Kobayashi might be out. You know, they're going to experiment and see what's going on. That's fine. It's annoying that they lied about it, as if we're going to believe that he was ill and everything. But then I saw him and read some of his tweets and things, and I thought, actually, he probably is. Probably is not very well at all.
Hold on a second. You think that Cyber are telling the truth, that the guy wasn't well enough to drive in the morning in free practice one, but got better miraculously by the afternoon?
No, let me finish. I think that he wasn't very well on Thursday. And then I think he went home. I went back to the hotel. I keep calling it home. I guess it probably is like a second home to them, all these hotels. There's an Autosport article, and I know at the moment we're... taking everything Autosport say with a pinch of salt. Anyway, but they said, Perez has been struggling with illness and on Thursday elected to skip his media commitments. Then Sauber felt it better. Perez sat out the opening session. So he wanted to skip it one day. Sauber said he should skip it the next day. And he tweeted, thanks to all, I'm ready to do the weekend after practice one. The team decide not to do practice one with me. I'm looking forward to a good weekend. So I think what happened is he was ill on Thursday and said, look, I want to go back and rest up. And then on Friday, they said, well, if you're too ill to do your media stuff on Thursday, you're not going to drive in FP1. We're getting someone else in. That's what I think happened.
I have one question for you and one question only. And maybe you can answer this, but has Esteban been to any other races? I haven't seen him on the pit wall. Is this the first race that he's turned up to? And if that is true, my cynicism meter, my needle, that's gone right off the scale. If this is the first time he's turned up for Sauber, then I'm not having any of this. However, if the guy happened to be around and Perez was looking 50-50, maybe they promised him a drive. And maybe that the cynicism needle would just lower itself slightly back into, just out of the red danger zone into, I'm definitely being lied to here, to I have serious questions about what's being said. But at the moment, it's very much in the, I don't believe a thing this team is saying. And I don't understand why they need to lie about it.
No, because it would make perfect sense that they need to try out their drivers. And it doesn't.
That's fine. Loads of teams have run Friday drivers. Nobody's questioned it. Nobody cares. Nobody's bothered. There is a slight question mark over the whole Caterham. Petrov doesn't have any money left. So he's probably going to get replaced, which is why you don't see Petrov running first session on Friday. That's the only sort of bit of cynicism you might say.
Except
about
he did
thing.
This time.
Did he?
Yeah.
Maybe he's got some more. See, yeah, there's not even any question about that. So
it's
why?
All fine.
Why? Yeah. Why is someone making, creating a storm from nothing? I don't understand.
Stephen says Esteban has been doing GP2, so he has been at loads of races.
Oh, okay.
The ones where they're connected.
Okay.
And he did test for the team.
The question is, was he at the last one?
I don't know. I don't know the answer. It all seems very odd. I do believe that Perez has been ill, but I think something has gone awry somewhere, because it just doesn't seem right that you would be ill enough not to drive in the morning, but okay in the afternoon. Unless it was because the smog cleared up and he felt a bit better. Who knows? There was also, as an aside, I mentioned just then that Autosport, some questionable things going on there. There was a headline which read, Sauber hopes he doesn't miss F1, which I found very confusing because I read it first as Sauber, the team, but obviously they meant Sauber, the man. And I thought, well, that is weird. That's actually quite a tricky situation that you get in when you name your team after someone in it, the founder or whoever, like Braun the man, Braun the team. Williams the man, Williams the team. But then again, if your team goes on forever and ever, like Ferrari, and outlives the founder, it's no longer confusing and it's a nice tribute. So I guess you have to go through those painful early years.
Do you think then the Sauber name will continue beyond Peter Sauber? And if so, give me a prediction how long you think that will last. Are we going to see 100 years of Team Sauber?
Well, if they stop messing about and stop lying to us, then you never know.
I'm voting for Team Manisha.
Team Manisha, that would be awesome. But really, all we can take away from practice so far is that Red Bull look astounding. McLaren are trying their best to keep up with them, but it's going to be difficult. And Fernando Alonso was there or thereabouts. While we were talking about Sebastian Vettel, I have a few facts and figures for you about him. Sebastian Vettel just missed out on pole position at the last race in Korea, but with the Red Bull looking so dominant at the moment and Vettel's track record of setting incredible lap times on a Saturday, it can only be a matter of time before he's lining up at the front of the grid again. The German has 34 F1 pole positions to his name, the last one coming at the race in Japan, so only a few weeks ago. 34 poles puts him third in the all-time pole position list, behind Michael Schumacher, who has 68, and Ayrton Senna, who has 65. There's quite a gap there to be made up, but Sebastian is still a youngster with potentially a lot of races ahead of him. He doesn't have much to worry about from behind, as the other drivers with poles numbering in the 30s are Jim Clark, Alan Prost and Nigel Mansell. In fact, the nearest placed current racing driver is Lewis Hamilton, who is joint ninth. He has 24 pole positions at the moment, which is a tie with Niki Lauda and Nelson Piquet. You'd expect Hamilton to get more front row positions in his future career, but then again, he is going to Mercedes soon, so who knows? Vettel does hold one record when it comes to that also-important pole position, though, and that is the youngest pole sitter. He snatched the title from Fernando Alonso when he secured P1 at the Italian Grand Prix in September 2008. He was 5 months younger than the Spaniard, but what is more surprising, particularly as time ticks ever onwards, is that he did it in a Toro Rosso. I can't imagine either of the team's current drivers managing to get the 2012 car onto the front row of the grid. At the time, the German was ecstatic, quoted as saying, "What can I say? It will take some time to sink in. It was my dream one day to drive an F1 car, and then my target is to fight for pole positions and race wins. It was a day I didn't expect." Bless cute Sebastian Vettel, who didn't realise there were two championships in his not-too-distant future. It could potentially be three championships any day now. Still, these days, after 34 of the darn things, pole position is a bit more run-of-the-mill to Sebastian. In the press conference at Suzuka, he said, "We only needed one run in every session, which doesn't happen all the time, but it's very enjoyable around here when the car works how you wish, especially on low fuel and fresh tyres. It's very special." Special, sure, but it didn't take time to sink in, did it? Seb went on to take that victory in Japan, following on from a convincing win in Singapore and preceding an equally dominant first place in Korea, despite only starting from second alongside teammate Mark Webber. That's three wins in a row, a hat trick. Can he make it four in a row? Well, we've only got one running of the Indian GP to go on, but Vettel was fastest in free practice and qualifying last year. He won the race and secured the fastest lap as well. It's looking good for the championship leader this weekend. Definitely is looking good for Vettel this weekend, but you never know. Stranger things have happened. It might all be turned on its head and we might be in for a surprise. But I think, as we always do on a Friday, it will be prediction time a little bit later in the show. Before we get there, I wanted to do a quick look at what other people have been talking about in their blogs and things across the internet, because it's not all about me, even though I do like to get my name in everywhere.
I don't have a jingle or a segment for this part of the show. Do you have a catchy name?
Not really. I called it A Quick Look Around the Blogosphere.
That doesn't roll off anybody's tongue.
It's not catchy. No.
If anyone in the comments has an idea for this after hearing what's in it, all suggestions welcome, because I'm missing a jingle from my jingle list.
Oh well, never mind. First up, Lukey. He has made a fabulous F1 crossword that should give you something to pass the time. I had wanted to do a crossword for a while, but I got a bit bogged down with how they should be. I mean, you can do a crossword however you want, but the ones in the papers and everything are usually symmetrical. And I was trying to make it symmetrical and I just couldn't do it. It was really too hard.
What do you mean the crossword is symmetrical?
So like if there's a black box in the top left corner, there's also in the bottom right.
What?
That's what they do in crosswords. Yeah, okay.
Always?
Yeah, no, not always. You can do one however you like, but the, like, proper professional ones in the newspaper, they tend to be like that. Yes.
I knew.
anyway, so, I was thinking of doing it because I thought it'd be fun to do, like, in the off-season, F1 puzzles, one a week or something. Like, 1 week you could have a word set and the next you could have a crossword. But maybe that's just because I'm a freak that likes puzzles. I don't know.
No, I like the idea.
Maybe everyone should check out this crossword that Lukey's done, because it's fun, and see how you like it. You never know. It might be a whole new revolutionary off-season thing that begins.
I'm just for the sake of clarity, because I'm thinking outside the box here. If you're listening to the show live, there's a link in the Fact by Fact box, but if you're listening to this show post-show, link in the show notes, or link is a Fact by Fact box in the show notes?
There will be a link somewhere in some kind of show notes.
Just go and find it.
we'll figure that out.
You expect us to do all the work for you?
We'll try and sort it out. Also, Pat, he wrote up a piece about the New Jersey race being postponed in 2013 until 2014, which is a bit of a loss to the US and F1 relations thing, which is so very temperamental, that's not the right word at the moment. And he also ponders whether there'll be a replacement, but I don't think Bernie has said anything at the moment. Everyone is talking of perhaps Turkey, or was it France, that could be a replacement for that. On SciPodcast, Chris has written a marvellous feature, which actually went up earlier today. It's about the merits of one Jaime Alguersuari. Now, I would say that his merits are quite obvious and do not require a feature-length post. But Chris has gone into a bit more depth about why he could be a good hire for a certain team, a certain red team. I think he definitely should return to F1 anytime soon, just because of the eyes, really. I mean, there just aren't eyes like that in Formula One at the moment. And when it's helmets and the eyes are all that you get to see, they're quite important. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
Also, around the web, Viva F1 wrote up a really interesting piece about the number of anti-clockwise races there are in the second half of the season, because it used to be that Brazil was the only anti-clockwise race, and we all got really excited about it, and it was special because of its neck-busting nature. But now they're all at it, so it's not that special anymore. And finally, Badger GP has two of those live meetup what's-its, where you get to watch the race in London with fab F1 fans and win prizes and all that good stuff. There's one for Brazil and one for the US race. So I think the best thing to do is head over to Badger GP. I can't say it. BadgerGP.com.
It used to be F1 Badger.
That was much easier.
Slightly, possibly, questionably legal.
Well,
but yeah. Much better.
BadgerGP.com to find out the details, and there'll be links for all these things in the show notes somewhere. But some of the prizes that he's been talking about are things from Pirelli, and also some things like some Ferrari headphones. And when I saw that, the first thing I thought was, oh, I didn't know Ferrari were going into headphones like Dr. Dre headphones, you know, to listen to music. But I don't think that's what they mean. I think he means like pit wall headphones. That would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, I kind of assumed that too. Oh, okay.
Are there any Ferrari like Dr. Dre headphones? I don't know.
It's an opportunity missed if there aren't, because I'd quite like them.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know whether they would feed in messages about how slow you're going, potentially. How the person behind you would going faster.
That kind of...
Yeah.
I just going back to the Badger GP meetup, I'm curious how much you know about this meetup. Because you're plugging it because it's awesome, but you're being quite hazy on the details.
Well, I know that they are awesome. And lots of people go there and like, have lots of fun and watch races with lots of people. And sometimes F1 type people turn up, like engineers and things from teams. And they give out prizes like Dr. Dre Ferrari headphones. So it sounds pretty good to me.
Okay, I'm sold. It's worth mentioning that this is the perfect antidote to the loss of side podcast meetups. If you're into meeting other Formula One fans, these are the, you know, in person, if you want to go meet people, have drinks, talk Formula One, these are the very places you should be checking out if you're in London. That's the one catch. They are very location specific.
Now, it is 1:30 the hour, so I think it's probably time for some breaking news, although not quite breaking. Jingle?
News? Just news?
No.
Oh,
it's all gone wrong. It was going so well.
What?
It's 1:30 the hour.
Oh! I ruined it. I was doing the fact box. I can't do it all.
Welcome to F1 Minute for Friday, the 26th of October, 2012. This is your 7-day roundup. The New Jersey Grand Prix was confirmed as being off the calendar for 2013 with a hopeful return the following season. Reports suggested that the organisers had got behind on sorting out their permits and that the breaches of contract were enough for Bernie to say they'd run out of time. If it is just time they need, then a delay of a year will be perfect and they can come back stronger than ever. Elsewhere, it's been new driver central with teams announcing their Abu Dhabi testing lineup. We've got Robin Frins for Sauber and Red Bull spreading the love. Antonio Felix da Costa will also be at Red Bull. Nicholas Prost, David Valsecchi and Eduardo Mortara will be on hand for Lotus, whilst Toro Rosso are running Luis Razzia and Johnny Cecotto Jr. Oh, and Ferrari are running a special test for Daniel Junkadella at Vallelunga, and that is not an easy thing to say. For more on these stories, plus all the latest news, visit f1minute.com.
Can I just say, considering I don't have much of a speaking part, this is by far and away the most exhausting show you have ever put together.
Yeah, it's good though, isn't it? Oh. It's fun. You don't actually have any show notes though, do you?
No.
I sent you a load of links so that you could be my backup fact person, which you have had to be.
I need a snappy title for that too.
Fact person. But I did not send you any links. Now, we are into the second half of the show, almost, because we're a bit off with the whole 5 minutes late thing. But let's say that we're into the second half of the show. And it's time. Don't make me laugh. It's time for us to feature a little, things are going to get a little bit serious for a minute when we talk about the importance of safety in Formula One. Hello and welcome to Side Podcast. This is a new mini-series called F1 Safety. We'll be taking a closer look at all the things that minimise the risks of driving at 300 kilometres an hour. We'll be covering various topics over the next 7 shows, and today our attention turns to helmets and clothing. Every Formula One ticket across the globe heralds the warning, motorsport is dangerous. And it is. No one could argue that driving at enormous speed around a narrow circuit would be anything but. However, F1 has taken great strides forward in safety since its early days, and now even the smallest details are covered with precise requirements. The driver's helmet is a perfect example. For a driver, his head, neck and arms are the most exposed areas during a race. The rest of his body is tucked away behind sheets of carbon fibre, but his head takes the full brunt of any oncoming forces. Putting aside what could happen in an accident, every single corner taken by a driver can be a strain on the head. It's no surprise, therefore, that every driver wears a helmet. They can weigh anywhere between 1,250 grams and 1,800 grams, and not only are they designed for safety, but also try to blend well with the car's aerodynamic profile. Made out of layers and layers of carbon fibre for strength, the helmet is lightweight, virtually indestructible, with fireproof materials forming the cushioning on the inside. There are a few main helmet suppliers, including Bell and Schuberth, and all are subjected to strict crash test procedures by the FIA. Each helmet is fully customised for the driver, and most include holes for breathing, ventilation, and drinking straws. The ventilation does include some filters to keep out elements of carbon, brake dust, oil, and fuel vapours. The helmets also block out a lot of the surrounding noise, which allows for drivers to be in radio communication with their engineers in the pits. As well as being able to hear, it also helps if a driver can see, obviously. The visor is about 3 millimeters thick and fireproof, with variable tinted shades depending on the time of the session, the state of the weather, and the track. At Singapore, many of the drivers had lighter visors to help visibility, whilst we know Felipe Baby wanted a lighter visor during the bad rain in Malaysia. Technology also exists to allow the tinting to adjust, as some sunglasses do. In the tunnel at Monaco, it can be slightly brighter, whilst at the exit, it can darken again. Underneath the helmet, the driver wears a balaclava made of Nomex, and this is a name you'll hear a lot when it comes to safety clothing. Nomex is supremely flame-retardant material in that it can be subjected to open flames of about 300 to 400 degrees C temperature without igniting. It's used for the driver's balaclava, as we've already mentioned, plus overalls with elastic cuffs on the wrist and ankles for drivers and the pit crew, gloves, socks, and underwear. The overalls also have zips that are designed to be flame-retardant and, more importantly, not to transfer heat onto the driver's skin, as regular metal zips would. Racing shoes continue the fireproof trend, but are also lightweight with thin soles and plenty of grip to allow maximum control in the car. Once the driver is kitted out and ready to race, he needs just one more piece of equipment, the hands device. This head and neck support device is a way of tethering the helmet so that a driver's head won't flail around in case of an accident. The system consists of a so-called shoulder corset made of carbon fibre, which is then connected to the helmet by small straps and the safety belts as well. The device is designed to allow the natural movement of racing, but it should restrict the impact of an accident. That kind of force could increase the weight of a helmet to as much as 560 kilograms, which can be absorbed by hands. The FIA commissioned the development of the design from Dr. Robert Hubbard of the University of Michigan in the mid-1990s, but hands didn't become mandatory until 2003. There is so much technology involved in these helmets and clothing elements already, but developments are happening all the time. Recently, some drivers have tested out heated visors to try and help with the problem of fogging up in humid conditions. There's plenty more innovation still to come. When you call. That's all for this first episode of F1 Safety. Tomorrow we'll take a look at another element of safety within Formula One. And until then, your comments and feedback are always welcome. You can email me, christine@sidepodcast.com. You make me feel safe. You are the place where my pain will sink. I think the plan, if this pilot episode of Radioactive F1, the plan would be for those to be more original content, but I thought it's always worth bringing up a safety feature, even though it was from, I think, perhaps 2009.
Stephen did wonder if there would be another Radioactive F1 show tomorrow.
No, yeah. That's not happening.
No.
Although it would be fun, but you look exhausted. It's going to take you a while to recover.
I'm not an octopus. Do you have any idea what's going on in the studio?
No. Now it's time for a bit of fun. Let's lighten the mood again. It's time for the quiz. Yay! That's like a golf clap. Quiz. Takes a while to get going, but we get there in the end. Okay, that's better. I like it. I have 5 quiz questions for you, and I will reveal the answers in a few minutes, a bit later on. So don't just be typing your answers into the comments, but note them down or whatever. You can send them to me if you want via email. I'm probably not going to give you a prize or anything. Christine@sopodcast.com if you really want to. But here are your 5 questions. 1. Of the following, which team has won the most Constructors' Championships? Williams, Ferrari, McLaren, or Lotus? 2. How many engine manufacturers were there in the 2006 season? By the way, that was a really good season. Won by Fernando Alonso.
I like that season.
Second championship in a row. That was a good one. Although it was the year that Schumi stopped at the hairpin. So that every time I watch Monaco now, I have palpitations that people are going around the corner and find a massive Ferrari stuck in the way. 3.
You totally ruined the jingle.
I did. Did it run out? Oops.
Shall I start it again?
My bad.
You want another one?
Go on. I break the tension. 3. Which C is a brand of tyres that were used in Formula 1 between 1954 and 1958?
I know this one.
4. The new point system awards 25 points for a win. I think we all know that. But who can remember the rest? I mean, honestly. It was introduced in 2010, so we've had plenty of time to learn it. How many points are awarded for 4th place? And 5. This is a question I would never get right. Who finished 9th at the last race in Korea? 9th? Does anyone pay attention to 9th?
Am I the only one here who's worried that you've asked a question that you're never going to get right? How are you going to mark that kind of question?
I asked a question that even I don't know the answer. Well, I looked it up, didn't I? That was fun.
Stuart's taking the money.
I don't think, who's a really good question master? The guy off of Mastermind, I don't think he has anything to worry about in terms of...
Magnuson?
Me taking his place. It's not... What's that? That's not him.
Isn't it Magnus Magnusson?
Somebody Humphreys, isn't it? No,
oh.
Not Jake.
What was Magnus Magnusson? I don't know where I got the name from then. I feel stupid. Sorry.
Okay.
Just to clarify something, because I've got some show notes here that I don't understand. You're not going to give the answers in this show?
No, I am going to give the answers in the show.
So you want people to email you what?
Nothing. No, I was just saying that I don't want them to type them in the comments.
Oh, you don't want people to give the answers away?
So I was just saying, if you have to type them somewhere...
Email you.
You can email me. I'm probably not even going to look at it.
You may be getting quiz answers in your inbox for weeks.
Yeah.
You may come to regret what you've just said.
It's okay. I just reply and say, well done. You knew more than me. It's all fine. I think we should talk about some news again. Let's go back to the news. Happy for news. I ruined it.
When was the last time you heard somebody, a BBC presenter, start the news?
Hugh Edwards.
I've got some bad news to tell you today, people.
Yeah. No, it's not bad news.
Okay.
Felipe Massa, he was re-signed by Ferrari recently, which is good news if you like him, and probably medium news if you don't really care either way. Which I think is how I feel. It'd be nice for someone else to have the opportunity, but Massa's quite nice, so...
I disagree with you entirely, but it's your show.
What, you think it's good?
I think it's brilliant news.
Okay, that's all you are allowed to say. I actually just noticed that there's Felipe Massa, Fernando Alonso and Ferrari. There's a lot of F-E things going on. Anyway, it was odd because Ferrari issued the tiniest of tiny statements saying they'd signed Felipe. It was just... We have renewed his contract and our lineup next year will be Felipe and Fernando. And then they went on to say Well, I'll quote you. I'll quote them. The decision to extend the agreement with Massa was carefully weighed up, and not just the obvious one, nor was it inevitable because of the lack of alternatives, nor was it in any way guided by the wishes of his current teammate, because Ferrari alone chooses its drivers. Many knocked on the doors of Maranello, some were considered, but in the end a logical conclusion prevailed. I like that, it's quite poetic. But I didn't hear any, like, gossip or speculation or rumours about why they signed Massa. I mean, we all know it, it was because he picked up his game, did a reasonable job in the car over the last couple of races, and he's not a threat to Alonso. So that's it. We all know that. Why have they come out so aggressively or defensively, really? It doesn't make any sense. Is it a case of protesting too much? Why do they even care what people think? They were leading the championship up until not too long ago. It's weird. They do
what
seem to
describe what the Ferrari press release should have read. Tell me what it should have said.
Well, why did they have to do that second one at all?
You just released the first one and no defensive comeback.
Why did they need come back against what? That's what I'm asking. I don't know what the point of that was. It's very strange that they had to do that. Why not say this is our decision? End of.
Mm. Yeah, can't argue with that.
It's a very strange situation. Now, I see you creeping into my show. You're talking more and more. So I think we'd probably better get to your segment of the show.
I have a segment.
I am going to let you have a tiny little segment because we know you're supremely opinionated and you do like to share your opinions quite a lot, quite vociferously. So
maybe I won't then.
This is called, and I've totally made this up, not stole this from anywhere, Hit, Miss or Maybe.
It needs a jingle. I don't have a jingle for that either.
Yay!
I'm feeling golf clap.
Let's not do the golf club. This is a segment where you review something, essentially. I have some questions to ask you about a product, a service, something to do with F1 that you've been looking at recently, and you can tell us whether it's any good or not.
Okay, what am I reviewing first off?
Well, that is my first question. So thank you for ruining that. Question one. What are you...
This is totally under-rehearsed. Can you tell?
What are you rating today?
Red Bull Racing Spy app for, the iPad, but it's probably available on Android.
It's an iOS app, isn't it? Is it available on Android yet?
There was talk of it. I don't know whether it's yes or not. It should be. It's not very complicated. There's no reason why it should be iOS only. But right now, I'm looking at it on the iPad.
In the comments, Stuart has pointed out a significant problem with this feature, and that is that you hate everything. So I actually hadn't thought of that.
We should have some predictions before.
Yeah.
Now you know what I'm going to rate. What do you think I'm going to
hit, miss, or maybe?
Yeah, what will I give it? And also, in the comments, how do other people rate it? And let's compare it to what I think. Okay.
So question two. Is it something you would normally buy? How did you come across it? That's two questions in one, really.
I can answer both of those. But it's not something I would normally buy because it's free. So the answer is no.
That's a start.
I can't pay for it. Even if I wanted to, they're giving it away. It costs nothing at all. It's free download. I heard about it because Red Bull Racing's Twitter tweeted about it. And I'm addicted to F1 apps. And so I downloaded it because it didn't cost me anything. And I wanted to take a look.
Good. What are the plus points?
Aside from the fact it doesn't cost anything, it's always up to date. The key selling point of this app is the fact that it aggregates information from their Twitter account, their Facebook account, their website news feed, and various other sources, including an exclusive photograph or photography collection. Behind
galleries.
The scenes, yeah, galleries is the word I'm looking for. Behind the scenes look at Formula One, things you wouldn't normally see. For example, Mark, what's the guy? Is it Mark Thompson, the photographer?
Yep.
He's in there showing off his absolutely massive lens. And there's things like behind the scenes look at the Red Bull accountants. Never seen that before. And all sorts of things in the garage you wouldn't normally take a look at.
Well, that does sound interesting, accountants and all that. And are there any negatives?
There are many negatives. But not enough to put me off. Firstly,
being it's not available for Android.
It may or may not be. It certainly wasn't at the point of release. It wasn't the first OS for it to come out on. But one of the main problems is there is a live feed, and they will update the application. I think the idea is you run it whilst the race is on and whilst practice is on, and they'll give you live updates, which is great. Except for free practice 2 today, I have a grand total of 2 updates. The first update says 5 minutes to go to the start of FP2. Hot and hazy is the order of the day. Track temperature is 38 degrees. Good chance of seeing times fall this afternoon as the soft tyre gets a run later on. Great stuff. Last update. Session over without any particular change in order.
It wasn't a very interesting session for Red Bull, though.
They must have thought of something to say in an hour and a half.
They did get, I think, P1 and P2 in the second session. So maybe it was just, you know, run-of-the-mill session for them.
For the life of me, there were more updates in FP1, so maybe something broke. I don't know, but it is haphazard and inconsistent. If this was your sole source of information for free practice, you would be completely lost and bored because nothing happened. So that's the downside to it. There's a flaky back end, or the person doing it is not really consistent. Every time I look at it, sometimes there's information, sometimes there's not information, and that's why I don't run it during a race normally.
Jay Pankos has confirmed it's not available for Android at the moment.
That's disappointing. It's not that complicated. No. That's just laziness.
So, what is your overall review? Is it a hit, a miss, or a maybe?
It's a hit.
It's a hit.
It's a definite hit, because it doesn't cost any money.
Is it a hit specifically for Red Bull fans, or could anyone get anything out of that?
You know? I think anybody could get something from this. There is a great infographic for every Grand Prix, which is very nicely laid out by the artists at Red Bull. And it's packed full of useless facts. For example, did you know that last year a colony of bats was found in one of the pit buildings? And it can also tell you, for example, that it cost £188 million to build this circuit, and 4 million cubic tons of earth were moved to add to the undulation of the track.
Now,
where can you get those kind of facts anywhere else?
I feel cleverer already.
You're more knowledgeable as a result of this app, right? And you don't have to be a Red Bull fan to appreciate that.
No.
And it's taken, you know, it's no effort. Just before every race, hook it up and see what the race facts are.
Good. So our first review, and it was a hit.
It's
so
a
you
hit.
Don't hate everything. We have disproved the theory. This is brilliant.
What do people in the comments say? Is anybody else using it but me?
No. Yeah. Not really. Although Lukey said we need to buy you an Xbox so that you can review F1 2012. I'm not sure we're going to do that just for the show, but you never know. An Xbox might be on our wish list.
That would be dedicated.
It would be dedication.
That would also be building up my part, I think.
Yeah, it's only supposed to be a small
segment. £400 worth of technical equipment and hours and hours and hours worth of
what we
practice.
Could do is call up Lukey and get him to guest on your segment.
I've just lost my only slot in the show.
Yeah. Oh, well, never mind. Now, we must return to the quiz. We're going to answer these 5 questions. So I will ask them to you and you tell me what you think and whether you've got it right or not. I didn't tell you about that bit.
What? I only knew one of them.
No, well, this is good. So everybody have your answers ready and check them off with a big red pen. You get a smiley face at the end if you've done really well. So question 1. Of the following, which team has won the most Constructors' Championships? Williams, Ferrari, McLaren or Lotus? Dun, dun, dun. Tick-tock, tick-tock.
Williams.
It is Ferrari. 2. How many engine manufacturers were there in the 2006 season?
Do I have to name them?
No.
4.
No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It's 7.
I don't know who Magnus Magnussen is, but I'm pretty sure he never did that on a quiz show.
Question 3. Which C is a brand of tyres that were used in Formula 1 between 1954 and 1958?
Continental.
Yeah.
That's the only one I know.
Well done. 4. The new point system is 25 points for a win. How many points are awarded for 4th place?
Oh, it's really embarrassing that I don't know.
It isn't, because it's a ridiculous 8. System. It is 12. Mm. And question 5. Who finished 9th at the last race in Korea?
I wish you'd given me time to think about these.
No, that's the whole point, is it? It's not preparation quiz.
It was probably, who's that guy who replaced Algar Suari? Is it Vern? Did Vern?
Oh, close. No. But no cigar, it was the other one.
Oh, Ricciardo.
Vern was in front of him. Hmm. So do let us know how you did. I hope you all got 5 out of 5.
One!
Or 1 out of 5.
One!
You know, you can't really do worse than that, so you should
hate
be
you.
Very pleased with yourself. No, you don't. You think I'm brilliant. That's fun. Excuse me, I do apologise. So next up is we just about have time left. We've got, about 10 minutes left now. So we have time for a Christine's Rankings update. Like I said, I get my name in everywhere. I have my very own ranking system in which I rate all the F1 drivers on their performance outside of the car, the things that they do that are fun and, keep us entertained, like tweeting and making videos and, the kind of thing. Wearing dodgy fashion items, all that stuff. Making fools of themselves. So I haven't actually, I'll be honest, I haven't done many updates this week so far since the last post on Monday. It's been a bit manic. But we do have a new entrant today, Esteban Gutierrez. He gets to be added to the list. He is eligible for points after taking part in free practice. So if anyone's seen him do anything interesting, and it can be like backdated now, if he did something interesting like 3 weeks ago, I can totally take that into account now. Also, it's worth keeping an eye on Max Chilton, if anyone knows who he is or where he is. He's going to be eligible next week because he's taking part in a session for Marussia. So keep an eye out for both of them and do let me know if you spot them doing anything. The last few updates I've done haven't been very popular. I took points off Kimi Raikkonen for... he did this weird thing where it was like, whatwillkimmydonext.com.
Mm.
And it was an interesting video where he signed a contract or had a contract in front of him, and he told us all to shh by putting his finger to his lips. And we all thought, this is very intriguing. What is it? And it turns out it was some kind of weird video to do with an advertiser or something, which is fine. I don't...
It had a massive effect on you, I can tell.
I don't mind the concept. I thought it was an interesting concept, but I got about a minute into the video and it was totally disturbing. I didn't like it. He was spitting and there was all kinds of not safe for work things going on. So I had to stop watching and I took points off. And people were upset that I did that. I think the Kimi fans were not happy.
Kimi's a popular guy.
He is a popular guy.
Even when he does very peculiar things.
And it's good that he's peculiar. It just wasn't to my taste. And that's because they're my rankings, I took them off. Also, Hamilton has made big strides up the order again because he had a big fall down when he went a bit mad on Twitter, as he often does. But last week he went up again because there was a small video that he did with Tony Stewart, is it?
From the NASCAR driver, Tony Stewart, yep.
I do love that video so much.
You love Tony Stewart now, I guess.
Yeah, really the points would have been for Tony Stewart, not necessarily Hamilton, but I had to get that in there somewhere.
Christine's motorsport rankings?
Do we have any small audio clip?
Okay, Lewis, be respectful. You do like this dude. Not going to pick at him for his earrings. Not going to pick on him because he doesn't have much hair.
How you doing, man?
Good to see you, man. Well? I'm excited to do this with you today.
Me too. You know, we have the Grand Prix coming up in Austin this year.
I forgot about Austin. I'm going to make sure you're the most popular guy when you get to Austin.
Is it the accent?
It might be. I mean, the video, there's quite a lot of audio, visual things in the video, so it doesn't always come across in audio, but I do like the way he goes, not going to pick on him because he doesn't have much hair. Oh, bless. I like that Tony Stewart. I don't even know who he is, but he's my new favourite.
There's a failure in your show notes because I was going to put a link to that video in the Fab by Fabbox and don't have it, so I'll put it in later.
Oh, yeah.
If I go and find it, it will play again, so I'm stuck.
And we have Button leading the rankings at the moment.
Is he catchable? Is it a done deal?
That is a good question.
There's only a few weeks left.
Let me just
The guy has pulled out something of a lead.
You say there's only a few weeks left, but I think it's like 5 or 6 weeks.
Because it continues after the end of the season.
We've got a week, at least 1 week, okay, after the end of the season, and the season drags on forever. It is Button is currently on 73 and Alonso is on 58, so that is a good gap, but we've seen bigger rises and falls in the past, so you never know what's going to happen on the rankings. It all depends how the people
Drivers need to be focused. With a definite plan of action, a driver could catch Jensen, but do they know? That's the question.
It's worth pointing out there are two drivers alongside Esteban who only joined today. Two other drivers on zero, and that is Jules Bianchi and Danny Kloss. See, these Friday drivers, they just don't have much opportunity to do anything. It's unfortunate, but they are allowed in there, so do keep an eye out for them.
It would be nice if everybody had a point, before the end of the season.
It's a bit like the Eurovision. You don't really want to be on nil point.
No.
Even if we're last, could we at least have, a point?
I will make it my mission to find these people points.
Good luck with that. That's
I don't even know where they are.
No, that is all I can say about that. So as ever, keep your eyes peeled for things that you think I might want to include in the rankings, and you can contact and send me things in many ways. There's a form on the rankings page, which is sidepodcast.com/rankings, and you can fill that in. And you can tweet it to @F1Rankings or to me @MrsChristine. We were also thinking about, in the future, trying to make it more obvious that who has submitted things, and, you know, give better credit for things, because I do love it when people send me stuff, and it's always good. And sometimes I remember to put in like a via, this came via someone, and sometimes I do not. But I think if we could do that in the future, make it more obvious and big up the people who send us stuff, because it's only fair.
Mm.
It's called Christine's Rankings, but it is, you know, it's an interactive thing.
Credit where it's due and all that.
Exactly. So, not long left of the show now, and we're going to have to do it. It must be predictions time. It's time to talk about the race. There is a race this weekend, the Indian Grand Prix. I think we all know who's going to win it. Is there any point in this bit at all?
The predictions for this race, you'd be a brave person to bet against Sebastian Vettel. So I'm not going to be that brave person.
No.
I'm going to say he's going to walk it. He's going to make it look easy. The car's not even going to be under any strain. The only question, you know, the only question mark over the entire thing might be that engines are getting scarce this time of the year.
Engines are getting old, and I'm still not completely convinced they fixed that Renault issue. Mm. It could crop up. You never know. Hopefully, this is going to be a better race in India than it was last year, because I think I read somewhere that it was 6 overtaking moves last year.
Don't you remember?
No, I do not. I apologise. 6 overtaking moves is not very many. Now, this year has been mad, and even the worst races are still, you know, reasonably good. They're just bad for this compared to the rest of the season. And they have tweaked the DRS. They've tweaked one of the zones, made it a bit longer. So that should help. I don't know. Will that help at all? Probably not.
Well, it won't make it any worse. That's the thing. At no point this year have they extended the DRS zone and they've made it too easy. I mean, at some point they've made it too small, but they've never gone too far this season and made passing a foregone conclusion. So far so good. I trust the FIA. I assume that they know what they're doing. And let's see what kind of race it does produce.
In the comments, Stephen has said Red Bull are running the last available 2011 alternators this week. So after Sunday, they have to go back to the dodgy new ones.
I didn't know that.
That's very interesting.
I didn't know.
I wish they could do that this week. Mm. That would be more interesting, but still. I didn't know they had a set. I actually didn't know that's what they'd done, is gone back to the old ones. I forgot that or didn't know. But that would make sense that they only have a limited supply, because they were hoping to go for the new ones and they aren't very good.
In certain situations, and that is when they are behind a safety car or in situations whereby they might overheat.
Yeah, because you said to me it's when they overheat, and I thought, oh, well, that's good, because we've got lots of hot races coming up, Abu Dhabi, and India's going to be hot. I tell you what, an interesting thing about, not that interesting, but about India is that I did the weather for the race information thread, and it said 31 degrees, 31 degrees, 31 degrees for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I thought this must be broken. It was 31 high, 17 low for every day. Sunshine, sunshine, sunshine. I thought that can't be possible, that it's exactly the same weather. But I checked on several sources and it was exactly the same. So not much variation. When I always say, oh, the weather, you can never predict what it's going to do. It's always going to be changeable. I don't think it is.
Will the temperature manage to seep through the fog?
That's always a worry. I think we were looking at some pictures where they said it was sunny, sunny in the afternoon, and you couldn't tell. You couldn't see whether the sunshine was there or not. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting race, in that it will be interesting to see how interesting it is.
Oh, my goodness. What?
Well, you know, whether it's going to improve or
You're
not.
You're interested to see if the race is interesting?
Yeah, to see whether it improves or not, because it could be a really dull one, and it may be. Maybe they've managed to spice things up. Maybe 2012 rules will spice things up themselves. It's not on the BBC this weekend, so I think we're probably not watching it live.
I wasn't planning to get up early to watch Sebastian Vettel win the Indian Grand Prix. I'm mostly looking forward to watching the race in Austin, actually. That's where my focus is on.
That is going to be.
Good. Maybe it will be a massive surprise and we'll all be feeling quite silly Sunday afternoon when it turned out to be a corker of a race and you know, the unexpected happened. Right now, not that confident.
That is the best situation to be in, really.
I'd love to be surprised. Yes.
To surpass all our expectations. That would be the best thing. So I think we're both going for Vettel for the win. I think everyone is in the whole world.
And pole, win and pole, and probably the fastest lap.
All of those things that Will said: P1, FP1, FP2, FP3.
Yeah.
Pole, win, fastest lap.
He can have them all.
I think he'll probably get them all. So that is it. We've run out of time. That is the end of my show. Oh. Don't breathe a sigh of relief.
That's quite terrible. No, I don't mean it in a negative.
It's more work than you were expecting.
It's thank goodness we got to the end. At one point, we didn't get to the beginning.
Yeah, that's what it is. So thank you to everyone for listening. I was going to say it's almost time for Free Practice 3, but I don't think that's right, is it? It's not on for a while yet. It's
hours away, but I like the way you're trying to spin it.
Yeah. If you're following Free Practice, there's a thread, and there will be a thread for qualifying on sidepodcast.com. And we'll be around and about, I'm sure. Not watching it live, but we'll be there. So stay tuned to F1 Minute for all the news. Stay tuned to Side Podcast for all the views. And we'll be back at some point with more.
I'm not ready. Keep talking.
Okay. Thanks to everyone that stuck with us. This has been a complete work in progress.
Feedback. You need feedback.
Yeah, I need absolutely lots of feedback.
And I need time.
Unless the feedback is bad, in which case I don't want it. I'm just kidding. You know us. We love our feedback. Oh, there we go.
Sorry.
The music arrived. that was stressful. So
I need to lie down.
Thank you to everyone. It was a good pilot episode, and we'll see you soon.